I'm going to start with some testimonies first. I want to share some testimonies, things that have been going on just in the last couple of months. And then I'll give you the message. But yeah, I have a new list. And before I share this list, this is just June and July and maybe a little bit of August. And we're not finished. We might be getting ready to go back to our building, but we're not finished. We're not retreating. We're advancing. We've taken ground from the enemy that will not be taken back again. And I'm expecting like a whole nother list before the end of August. Like, this is not the end. This is just what we have so far. But Revelation 19:10 says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So I'm going to share some testimonies, and I believe they have the ability to prophesy into you right now. So if you're not on this list already, as somebody who's been saved or delivered or healed or, you know, as a captive that's been set free, you could very well end up on this list before the end of August. And so we want, we're going to be praying. We're praying right now. We've been praying. Our ministry team has been praying that there will be healing. There will be a move of God, even while I'm just sharing these testimonies. Testimonies are very powerful. And in fact, before we even share these testimonies, let's pray. Let's pray right now. Oh, Lord God, there is no other God like you. There is no other God like you. There's no God like you in heaven and earth. You keep your covenant. You show your unfailing love to all who walk wholeheartedly with you. And so, God, we love you. We give you all the praise. We open the gates with praise and thanksgiving right now, and we praise you for what you've done, and we praise you for what you're about to do. And we just bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let me open this. It's actually double-sided this time. And I had to put it in 11 font to get it all on one page. And I got more today that I didn't put on here because I'm like, I'm out of room and I'm out of time if I add more on there. However, 11 font, I hope I can read it. No, I can. I have eyes like Moses, right? Unabated. Let me find the right side. Okay. So let's start with, these are healings that have happened under this tent. Under this tent. So they either happened during the worship, during the message, or afterwards during ministry time. And so most of these are reported by our ministry team, but some of them were reported by people that were just praying out in the audience. So knees healed, immediate healing of knee pain from struggling to walk to complete normal, deliverance from reoccurring nightmares, anxiety, and depression. Multiple cases of full body pain healed after deliverance prayer. Chest pain relieved. Lyme disease healed, medically documented. Healing of lower abdominal pain. Neuropathy healed. Right shoulder healed after being anointed and prayed for by the elders. Deliverance of lying deceptive spirits. Pancreatic injury healed. And that one actually was a boy who his mom brought him out of children's hospital and brought him here under the tent so that he could be prayed for here. And I lost my place now. I'll find it. Okay, two leaky heart valves healed, medically documented, and it had been an ongoing issue for years since starting in 2008. Ovarian cyst healed, 1.5-inch cyst completely disappeared, medically documented. Two more sets of knees healed. And actually, one of them is John Shamlin, and he gave me permission to use his name and to say that he's not only healed, he's better than ever. He's doing more exercises, more squats than he was before, so he's rejuvenated. His youth is being renewed like the eagle. And also, there's another knee healing this week that was just one knee, and that was within 24 hours, complete swelling, everything went down, complete healing this week. So lots of knees. In fact, that's the fourth set of knees healed. So just right now, if you have knee issues, just put your hands on your knees right now. And we just pray right now, Holy Spirit, move. We say more knees healed, more feet ready to be fitted with the gospel of peace, to share the gospel, to be about the kingdom work. So let me get back. Anemia healed, lung cancer healed, medically documented, confirmation healed through PET scan results, tooth healed after word of knowledge, many salvations and baptisms that I have lost count. Like, I don't really know. I don't know if anyone knows, but I know there's been probably at least a couple dozen. I don't know. This deliverance, that there was a really major deliverance that I might refer to in my message, so I wanted to touch on it real fast. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because Pastor Aaron already talked about it a couple weeks ago, but I just wanted to read a couple of the sentences that he said. There was somebody who came in from Canada who was dramatically delivered from demonic oppression. And he saw the demons come out of him. He saw their faces, he says. They went into the fields. And afterwards, he texts back a week later. And here's what he had to say. He said, "And what I understood is that church is just, in simple words, friends who have more experience with these things, and they help you take these things out," and they did, and they're gone. "I don't remember how to hate the people that hurt me. I saw a perfect community. It was simple. It was beautiful." So it was just an amazing testimony, and I may be referring back to that a little bit and when I get to my message. So I wanted to share just a little bit again in case you weren't here a couple weeks ago, and you'll know still about that. It's worth sharing again. It's an amazing testimony. Here's a text from a captive that was set free here in the tent, someone who traveled here. He says, "I am forever grateful and will forever pray and praise God for you and your church. Absolutely changed my life. I am free, and I know now I don't have to do anything alone ever again." Okay, and now I'm going to go to salvations and deliverances from around the community, because our on Wednesdays, well, not just on Wednesdays, but I just kind of started asking around. I heard some of them here reported on Wednesday, and then I just started asking some of the people that were involved. We actually have some people in our church that are so busy about the Father's work, you would think they're getting paid for it, which they are in spiritual dollars, but they really, really love to pray for people, and they've seen some things too. So this includes just stuff that's been going on around the community since the crusade started. So if it might be because we went out, like when we went out on Wednesdays, or it might just be someone else in our church, some of our free people. So we have a heart healed, medically documented, surgery canceled, upper arm injury healed, hip healed, stomach pains and severe bloating healed. A lady walks after she was paralyzed on her left side due to strokes. She immediately felt warm tingling in her left leg where the hand had been laid while praying. Sight restored in eyes, PTSD healed, jaw pain relieved after prayer, back pain healed, fibromyalgia healed, hernia healed, pain in the left side of the body healed, prostate and kidney issues healed, neck healed, tumors withered and completely gone, throat issues healed, and then I'm going to switch now to some from around the country and even around the world. And those were some that our team has been praying for. We've got a lot of requests since there was a Stronger Faith podcast that came out in June, and it highlighted not just my testimony, but actually a lot of testimonies from our church. So some of the people emailing in are saying things like, "We don't have a church like that where we're from. You know, would you pray for us? Or can we come in and have a deliverance session with you?" And we've had some virtual sessions too. So these are people that have reached out, and some of them fondly like call us like the House of Miracles, the Church of Miracles. And I'm like, yes, we will pray for you, and we will believe for a miracle. We believe big. So there's just a couple I wanted to share. I can't share them all. I was sad, almost wept as I deleted some of them, trying to fit it all on here. But I picked out three or four that I just think will really touch you. And the first one is just a real short one from a guy named Michael from Melbourne, Australia. He said, "I felt a strong energy flow through my stomach and rising toward both sides of my lungs. I truly believe that God's healing power has begun its work in me." And when I reached out to him, by the way, I got permission to share his name. He's doing great. So I just praise God that he's encountered God. This one is a really neat one. Michael Andronovic from Cyprus, an island in Europe. He's an 83-year-old man. He was diagnosed in January with an inoperable brain tumor. They tried to give him some treatments, I guess, to shrink it, even though it was not, I don't think they said curable, but they were trying to help him, but his body would not tolerate it, so they had to stop the treatments in March. His daughter reached out and asked for prayer at the end of June, and here's what she texted me back, I guess a couple of weeks later. I don't have a date on here. But she says, "Hi, Kathleen, thank you so much for emailing me back and having your team pray for my dad. Kathleen, last Wednesday, my dad had a brain MRI, and the MRI showed complete resolution of the tumor. It's gone." She said, "Monday, we were to go see the oncologist, but instead she called me 5 days early on Wednesday. And she said, I have good news for you, complete resolution. There may be something small, but the MRI is not showing anything. I began to cry and praise God, and this doctor knows that I have faith in God," and she began to cry too. This is amazing, Kathleen. The word of God is alive. God is alive. Our pastor has asked us to share on Sunday. I hope this brings others hope. Thank you once again. God bless your ministry. And her name's Maria Andronovic. And here's the thing. When I asked for permission to use her name, she told me a little bit more about what's been going on since he got healed. There's revival breaking out over there. So her ministry is sharing, and she's sharing. This 83-year-old man got this massive miracle. And so she shared, and I shared live. I was asleep because there's such a time difference. I didn't get to hear it live, but I did go back and watch it. And so they're getting a ministry. So I feel like it's just what we wanted with this crusade was that we would knit together with other ministries and be in unity like Jesus prayed for in John 17. He wants us to be in unity. He wants one bride. He doesn't want it separated. And so we really have desired to do that. We've really reached out in the community trying to invite others in, having this on Saturday night. So nobody has to even miss their regular church. They can still be a part of what we're doing. But I feel like God honored our heart far beyond what we thought would even happen. And we have people across the globe that are being inspired and being lit up. So I still have a couple more real quick, and then I will get to the message. So here's one from South Africa. This one is actually broke my heart. This man, I'm not going to share his name because of the intensity of this, but what he shared, what was going on with him, was very demonic, going on at night. It was very demonic. He was being assaulted by demons. His email to me was like R-rated or X-rated or whatever. It was really bad. And I remember as soon as I got it thinking, I wish I was closer so we could go pray. We get a team and go pray for him and lay our hands on him. And I just wished so much I could be like, go rescue him. But I just did what I could do. And so I sent him Pastor Aaron's sermon series on spiritual warfare, and I encouraged him with as much truth as I could think of, and I did send a prayer for him, and here's what he said back. "Thank you so much. I am so amazed that in South Africa, I got a response from you and your team. I am healed. I am able to have full night's rest and declare the word of God against any attack. Praise God. Amen." I just am so, that one blesses my heart because I just really thought, and it also showed me something. I didn't have to be there. Just like the Roman centurion, we just said some words. The truth set him free. So we're making moves. I'm seeing God move in ways I've never seen him move before. Just a couple more. So severe neuropathy healed. And this person says, "Deep gratitude. I contacted you and your team for healing prayer for my decades-long sleep-deprived neuropathy. For the last 3 nights, I have had a significant decline in pain. Thank you, Lord, and thank you, Kathleen, and your team for your Christ-like love and prayers of faith. I am believing and anticipating a complete and total healing." And here's another one from Alberta, Canada, saying, "Thank you so much for encouragement. It came at a time I really needed it. I'm trying to watch through the videos on deliverance by your pastor that you sent me. I have started to watch what is on the Free People Church YouTube channel. Love the worship and the word being preached. Thank you again for your kindness." Here's a pediatrician from Panama. She said, I want to thank you for bringing so much hope to so many people who are suffering and need good news. Here's, and this is the last testimony that I'm going to share. And this one is a Dr. Ayan Adams from Hawaii. And again, she gave me permission to use her name. And in fact, she was happy for me to use her name. She, on July the 28th, okay, let me just read July 8th first, 20 days earlier. So on July 8th, I got this heart-wrenching email from her. She said, I went to the doctor and was told that I have cancer. Diagnosis, multiple myeloma, bone cancer, blood cancer, and cell cancer. Incurable. I immediately began planning my funeral. At the hospital, my T7 was fractured by the cancer. Bone disease. Next, I had pain in my T3, T4, T5, T8, and lesions all over my body. After 4 months and 8 days, I went through 2 bone marrow biopsies and 2 PET scans. I drank 4 or 5 24-ounce bottles of water a day, and my blood work still shows that I'm not drinking water. It has affected my kidneys. I'm requesting prayer for my cancer, kidneys, and stone that they found on my gallbladder. I have pastored many people in Maui, Hawaii. Now I am seeking help. Please pray for me. I communicated. Then, okay, I'm going to go back now. What she sent 20 days later, on 28th of July, she says, I want to report that God has healed me. There is no plasma cell detected. The bone marrow biopsy and PET scan revealed... The bone marrow biopsy and PET scan revealed that none is detected. Praise God. Hallelujah. We praise your blessed name. Thank you for your prayers. So if you, what you, this is, you're a part of this. This is what you're doing. This is what this crusade has been doing. This is what the initiative has been. And it's amazing. I did want to real quick share a couple of just encouraging words from people who traveled a long way to come. Just 3 real quick. They're not testimonies, but I think it will also encourage you. A message from someone who came to the crusade from Florida. She was the first person to fly in. She said, every word, prayer, conversation was exactly what my heart needed. God definitely spoke to my heart through every one of you, and I'm so grateful. Thank you for this weekend. I will keep you all in my prayers. And that's Kat DeLong from Florida. And then here's one from Indianapolis, and this is Sarah Masters and her husband, Michael, I think it was. She says, we were so blessed to worship and pray with you all. It was truly an atmosphere of God's presence. It was amazing to meet you and be a part of what the Lord is doing through this ministry. We would love to come back in a few weeks and hopefully bring our daughter and son-in-law and their baby boy and our teenage sons. We were telling them how wonderful it was to be in a tent full of like-minded, spirit-filled, free people. If it were closer, we would be there every night for sure. We have been listening to the Crusade Nights on YouTube, catching up from June on. We are also praying for your church and for your family and all who would come to the tent nights as well. It's so exciting what God is doing there. And they're probably watching now, actually, so hi. And then the last one, I'm just going to share this real quick. This is a message from visitors that came from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. They traveled 2,273 miles. And they said, we are not the same as when we left. We drove out of the wilderness and came to you and your band of free people. Picked up what the Holy Spirit had for us and planted it in our souls, in our home, and now in our own backyard revival. Thank you for everything you and your tribe poured over and into us. We are going to pray the recorded prayer every night as we climb into bed, walking out healing. Praise him, and again, I say praise him, holding you close now and forevermore. Darren and Amy Cudmore from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I'm going to try to get to the message now that I have 30 minutes left. We'll see how this goes. Oh, okay, yeah, I know, I remember now how, if some of you actually are here and you're not on the list and you still haven't received your healing yet, and I'm praying that you're feeling healing right now. It could be, God could be doing a mighty work in your body right now. But I do also feel like this word hopefully will be encouraging and will help you process through some things. And I want to start with how, just a tiny bit of, before I get started, a tiny bit of how this got started is, so on Sunday night of this, like 6 nights ago, believe it or not, I was going to sleep and I put on Ezekiel. I was reading Ezekiel, and then when I got too tired to read it, I put it on to play. And I really love Ezekiel. I love all of the books of the Bible, but I've been really drawn to Ezekiel lately. And the way that Ezekiel went and he sees this defilement in the inner and outer courtyards of the temple, and the Lord's highlighting that to him, picking him up sometimes even and taking him to this defilement and showing him. And so I was listening to that as I went to sleep. And when I woke up, it was in Matthew chapter 8. And it was playing verse 2. It's a very common, you might even have it memorized, but it's the one where it says, "And behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.'" And as soon as I heard that, I'm positive that I heard the Holy Spirit say, "No, if they are willing, I can make them clean." Basically, if you are willing, he can make you clean. He can cleanse you. And I looked up that word cleanse, like the original Greek word, and it means to cleanse, render pure, or purify. It doesn't necessarily mean a healing, although it could mean a healing, but there's more to it than that. I believe that it means more than just the infirmity itself, that anything that's defiling the temple, because our body is the temple of God. And so I felt like the Lord started showing me a connection between Ezekiel and Matthew, and not Matthew, but Matthew some, but also the New Testament, things, truths in the New Testament. And it didn't just start a week ago. Like, I feel like he's been showing me this for years. In fact, I feel like I could say that almost everything in the Old Testament prophesies into the New Testament. It's symbolic or prophesies into it. So I'm starting to see that more and more. And I feel like it, is the heart of God for us to see that, see the importance of the Old Testament symbolism that's there. So I've been fascinated with that. I over the last couple of years especially, like there's prophetic acts in Ezekiel and in the Old Testament, and I feel drawn to prophetic acts. And there's just a lot in there. Like the dry bones story is in there, you know, where Ezekiel prophesied to the dry bones to come alive. I did that for myself. So there's the connection there. And so I immediately felt drawn to this. I felt like when I heard the Lord say, "No, if they're willing, I can make them clean. They're waiting on me. I'm waiting on them." So here's what I did. I looked at the word cleanse. It means more than just to heal. It's talking about purification. And I started thinking about what does that mean. And I think that for us, it means that we are having trouble letting go of certain things like grudges, ways of thinking, behaviors, toxic patterns, or ideals. But if we're willing to let the Lord cleanse that, then we will be completely set free. So I'm going to do this maybe three times, and I'm going to go from Old Testament to New Testament and show you some connections, and then I'm going to pray with you. So hopefully I can accomplish this in the time. So I'm going to read Hebrews 12:1, and Hebrews 12:1 says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." And in the Passion Translation, it says, "So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into, then we will be able to run." So I believe that is the heart of God, and those are both from, Hebrews chapter 12. But I believe that that's what we need to do to get that full cleansing. So I feel like that's the prescription. And now we're going to look at some Old Testament, New Testament verses. So in the Old Testament, we see in Ezekiel 8:3, it says that Spirit lifted me up into the sky and transported me to Jerusalem in a vision from God. I was taken to the north gate of the inner courtyard of the temple. where there is a large idol of jealousy, which provokes to jealousy. And then in the New Testament, we see, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You are not your own. So I'm just making that connection. There is a connection between the temple of the Old Testament and the temple of the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, the Lord was upset when it was defiled. And I believe that he is not happy when we are allowing our bodies to stay defiled in the New Testament as well. So I'm going to go back now just for a second and read through that 8:3 again with a little bit more. So it said, I was taken to the north gate of the inner courtyard of the temple where there is a large idol. Son of man, he said, do you see what you are doing? Do you see the detestable sins the people are committing to drive me from my temple? But come, and you will see even more detestable sins than these. Then he brought me to the door of the temple courtyard where I could see a hole in the wall. And he said to me, now, son of man, dig into the wall. So I dug into the wall and found a hidden doorway. So I want to pray right now, and I'm going to give you some things to be thinking about. But I want to pray right now, Holy Spirit, come, and we're going to dig into some walls right now. We're going to dig into some hidden access points right now. So Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and highlight to everyone who's here and everyone listening online anything that is defiling them that they're not even aware of. So here's how we're going to do this. First, what is an idol? Because it was idol. It was an idol, right, that was upsetting the Lord. What's an idol? It says the term idol can refer to a person, object, or concept, often with connotation of admiration, devotion, or even worship. It can be a religious image, a celebrity, or even a false notion. So here's examples of idols. Pleasures of life, money, education, everything that people esteem as very high or that can draw our attention away from God. So something is an idol when it gives you the most excitement about your future. So I'm going to give you like 8 different things. And when I read these, if you find that something in your life that's not Jesus has this ability on you, then you need to pray about it. That's something we're going to pray about. Just keep that in mind. So something is an idol if it gives you the most excitement about your future. Something is an idol if it causes you to disobey God or it causes you to question if you've stepped over the line into sin. Like, is that too much or is that too much? Like, if you're questioning if you got too close to sin, then that could be an idol. It gives you greater joy than Christ. It is what you daydream about the most. It is what you enjoy talking about the most. It is what you fear losing the most. And that could be a person. That could even be a person you're idolizing. I'll be honest with you. I used to idolize my kids. I used to idolize my husband. I looked to him to fix everything for me. And I was suspicious if he went to spend time on his own hobbies because I thought, well, that means you don't love me if you don't want to be with me. Like I idolized him and put so much pressure on him. And so those are not healthy things. Idolizing my kids, it caused me to put them ahead of God. It is what you enjoy reading, watching, or scrolling about the most. It is what you spend the most money on and the most time on. So 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You are not your own. So I'm still going back to idol again. Again, what is an idol? The term idol, there's a reason why I'm going to read the definition again, because I'm going to look at another piece of the definition. So the term idol can refer to a person, object, or concept, often with connotations of admiration, devotion, and even worship. It can be a religious image, a celebrity, or even a false notion. So now we're going to look at the false notion. What is a false notion? It's a misleading or incorrect ideal or belief. So I'm going to look at something in the New Testament, and I'm going to relate it to our temple, the body. So first I'm going to read Matthew 21:12-14, and then I'm going to relate that to how a false notion can affect us. So first, this says, and Jesus entered the temple, and he drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. So notice, after he got rid of the den of thieves or robbers, he then healing took place, right? So I was thinking also about John 10:10. It says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? So there's a thief in our temple, and I think they're false notions. And what those false notions are may be different for each one of you, but it's stealing, killing, and destroying you, whether it's physically doing that or just emotionally or mentally. Those are things that I believe that the Lord was upset then about the temple being defiled. It's supposed to be a house of prayer, he said, and not a den of thieves, a den of robbers. So he feels the same way about us right now. Our temple is supposed to be a house of prayer, a constant communion with him, a practicing his presence all the time. And every time that we're having false notions or ideals or thoughts that don't line up with him, then that's actually stealing from him. And I don't think he likes it. I think he wants to whip it out. And I don't even know what that looks like. In spiritually speaking, how would you whip something out? You know, in John, I don't know if I have it written down here, but yeah, Jesus made a whip in John 2:15 out of some ropes, and he chased out all of the things in the temple that he didn't want there. So I don't know. You can be creative. You can ask God. I had an ideal, like, I actually came across this verse and applied this to myself when I was seeking a healing that I needed to save my life. And what I did was I made a list, okay, of my thoughts, good thoughts and bad thoughts. I just started listing my thoughts. And then every one of them that didn't line up with God, I put truth over here. And then that was my way of whipping them out. I don't know if that makes sense. But that's just a strategy. So you can pray into it. But this is just to show kind of what's happening. Our body's the idol. Graham Cook said, if the truth has not set you free, then you must pay attention to the lie that's binding you. So this also goes with that. All right, another connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the Old Testament, and I heard someone speaking to me from within the temple. And God said, Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst. Now let them put away their idols, and I will dwell in their midst forever. This is the law of the temple. The whole territory on the top of the mountain, all around, shall be most holy, i.e. shall be cleansed. So this is how you can get rid of, we're talking about how to get rid of the idols. I gave you one suggestion. We're going to pray. We're going to get rid of some more idols here in just a little bit corporately. But this is Ezekiel 43:6. So we're skipping toward the end of the book, where you're seeing Ezekiel is actually, God is giving Ezekiel ideals on how the temple can be cleansed. It's no longer just he's angry. Now there's a solution. This is the solution, is to be holy, to be cleansed. In the New Testament, we see a verse that very much goes along with that from the Old Testament. In 2 Corinthians 7:1, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit, and let us work toward complete holiness because we fear God. Okay, so I'm going to do one more Old Testament, New Testament analogy, and this is one I've been looking forward to. I love this one. You're going to love it too. It will take me a little bit longer, but it's really good. So why do we need to be cleansed? It's not just because we want to be well, and it's not just because it's healthy for us. But it's also, when you're able-bodied, you're more usable to the kingdom. You're able to do the Great Commission. You can't do the Great Commission if you have insecurities, if you have a broken heart over some things you need to, you know, or if you are sick, if you have infirmities. So it's holding you back from the things, not just the goodness of God for yourself, but we're to be knit together. We are building blocks, not just one temple. We're a bunch of temples being built together into a kingdom of priests that are supposed to be busy about his work. So how do we do this, and what's that relate to? In Ezekiel 47, it talks about the river of life. And I believe that this river prophesies the work of the Holy Spirit in our temple, our bodies, and that what the results should have on people of the world. So before I read Ezekiel, I'm not going to read all of Ezekiel 47, I'm going to read the first 11 verses. But before I read that, I want to put a New Testament verse in your mind and make sure it stays there, because you have to have this verse in your mind while I'm going through the river of life and for it to make sense. So this is John 7, 38 through 39. It says, "Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart." When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him, but the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. And then I want to read it again in the Passion Translation. It says, "Believe in me so that rivers of living water will burst out from within you, flowing from your innermost being." Just like the scripture says, Jesus was prophesying about the Holy Spirit that believers were being prepared to receive, but the Holy Spirit had not yet been poured out upon them because Jesus had not yet been unveiled in his full splendor. So now I'm going to read Ezekiel 47, but keep in mind what I just read about John 7:38. That the Holy Spirit is the river, okay? So I'm reading through this, and I'm hoping that this will make a lot of sense if you keep that John 7, 38 through 39 in mind. "Then he brought me back," okay, we're back to Ezekiel, okay? He's talking about God. He says, "Then he brought me back to the door of the temple," which, again, think about like our bodies are now the temple. "And behold, water was pouring out from below the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple. And behold, the water was trickling out on the south side, going on eastward with a measuring line in his hand. The man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. And then he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. And again, he measured 1,000 and he led me through the water, and it was waist deep. And again, he measured 1,000 and it was a river. And I could not pass through it, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through." If you're thinking Holy Spirit, that's exciting. I don't know. You're not seeming as excited as I am about this. But I love this part. A couple of years ago, I came across that, and I decided to do a prophetic act. And every time I go somewhere that I expect the Holy Spirit to pour out, I usually wear my swimsuit. So I have it on today. I expect them to pour out. I love this. I'm so excited. You got to get excited. So we've got the Holy Spirit flowing out. Now, let's see what the temple, our body, being overrun and bursting forth with the Holy Spirit, let's see what's supposed to be happening when you're overrun with the Holy Spirit. It says, "Then he said to me, 'This river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. This world is dead and dry and without hope. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea pure and fresh.'" That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be bringing life to a dead world. We're supposed to be making things pure and fresh. "There will be swarms of living things wherever the water of the river flows." It brings life. "Fish will abound in the Dead Sea." Remember, Jesus used fish to represent people when he called the first disciples, remember? So fish will abound, meaning people. "For its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever the water flows. Fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea, all the way from En-Gedi to Englem. The shores will be covered with nets, drying in the sun." You know what that sounds like? That sounds like the fishermen have got a good catch, right? They've already caught everything they need. The harvest must have been ripe, right? This means fishermen that have been busy. The nets are drying in the sun. "Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea just as they fill the Mediterranean, but the marshes and swamps will not be purified. They will still be salty because the river of life doesn't flow there. It's stagnant." So what's that mean? So the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit isn't, it's stagnant. We need the Holy Spirit. "So fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall. And there will always be fruit on their branches, always in season. I believe that this could be why Jesus cursed the fig tree for not having fruit, even though it was out of season. He's like, you're supposed to be having fruit all the time for me. Like, we're supposed to be having fruit all the time for him. There's no off season. So I'm going to finish this up. I think there's one more verse. I lost my place. Sorry. Okay. There will be a new crop every month, for they are watching, watered by the river flowing from the temple, flowing from us. The fruit will be for food, and the leaves will be for healing. And so I believe that those trees, that represents what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to